Honorable Suvandiranu, you can now proceed with your privilege matter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to raise this question of privilege. I have been receiving several summons from the month of August 2020 from the Commission of Inquiry to inquire into and obtain information in relation to alleged political victimization. All of those summons describe me as a respondent. I have responded to all of these summons in writing and have indicated that they were in the Sinhala language only. Two, since I am referred to as respondent, to please furnish me with material relevant to any allegation made against me. And three, to ensure that all materials sent to me are accompanied by either Tamil or English translations thereof. I have also appeared personally before the said commission twice and made the aforesaid request orally as well. Although the commission ordered that I be furnished with the said material, to date I have not got any material from the commission. But I continue to receive more summons in the Sinhala language only. I received another summons dated 17th October 2020, which came by post on the 20th of October 2020. And I saw it after I returned from Parliament sittings on the same day. I responded by letter dated 22nd October, which was faxed to the Commission at 9:30 a.m. on 23rd October 2020, repeating what I had said in the several communications previously, and also indicating that I had parliamentary sittings on the same day and therefore could not appear before the Commission. I table the said response and summons and my response. Despite the above, I read in the newspapers on 27th October 2020 that at the sittings held on 26th of October, the chairman of this commission, Upali Abeyaratne, had stated in public that several parliamentarians, including myself, will be named for evading the commission. I table the said news item which appeared in the Ceylon Daily News of 27th October 2020. The aforesaid conduct by the said Commission of Inquiry is in breach of my privilege as a Member of Parliament, as I had clearly indicated by my letter dated 22nd October that I could not attend the Commission due to the reason that I was attending Parliament on that day. In any case, I could not have attended the Commission in response to the summons, as the summons was received only on the date of the sitting, that is 20th October 2020, and seen by me after 5 p.m. on the same day. I urge the Honourable Speaker to take urgent and immediate action in this regard, including action to prevent the Commission naming me for evading the Commission, when in fact I was attending Parliament at that time and had no time to intimate to the Commission prior to its sittings on 20th October 2020. I also urge the Honourable Speaker to take action for breach of privilege, in that, prior to the public announcement by the Commission of the Chairman of the Commission, I had intimated in writing the reasons for non-attendance, which is that I was attending Parliament on that day. I urge the Speaker, apart from referring this matter to the Privileges Committee, to please communicate from the Speaker's office, to communicate with the Commission Chair on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll take necessary action. Yes, Mr.
Just want to mention about Honorable Sumandiram. He's talking about privileges. He has paid tribute to Pandita, the LTT Jaffna leader, the other day. And he is a childhood friend of Prabhakaran. And he joined the LTT in 1979. Both Kittu and Panditar were notorious killers of the security forces. And they were killed, even the security forces which are in custody. And he went and worshipped the Jaffna LTT leader. So how can he be in the parliament after taking oath to for the territorial integrity of the country? So we must ask, reasons for his conduct like that. He is talking about the privileges of the parliament. He goes and pay tribute to the Jaffna LTT leader. And he and the kid too are notorious killers of the terrorists. So please ask if reason for his conduct.
Yes.
Honourable Speaker, since my name is mentioned, I will respond, not because the Honourable Minister requires me to answer. I have no obligation to answer him. But since he raises it in public, I will say this. I appeared for a lady named Signathura Maheshwari in the High Court of Jaffna. She is 83 years old. Her son, who is called by that name, Pandidhar, died in 1985. She remembers her son every year on the 27th of or around November time. Yes, he was an LTT leader. Nevertheless, he was her son. Every mother has a right to remember their children. The Honourable Minister has never raised any question with regard to the JVP remembering Rohana Vijayveera with his beret and all his regalia on the streets of Colombo. This is why I said in this house that even in the remembrance of the dead, there is discrimination against the Tamil people. Such low conduct by this minister, who is now raising a question as to why I stood with my client when she remembered her son. The High Court order the previous day very specifically said that she is entitled to have a remembrance event privately in her house. And she had that in her house. You can't even call it a house. It's a shed. That's where she lives. I stood with her. The learned High Court judge requested me to explain that this can't be done in public places, but in the house she is able to do that. I explained to her, and on the next day I stood with her when she did that private event, and her son wasn't even in the pictures, you can see, wasn't even wearing any uniform. This is a mother's remembrance of her son. She was my client the previous day in court, and I was requested to explain to her that she can commemorate her son in private in the house, and I was there with her. Now, I don't need to give this explanation here.
Thank you, Mr.
But since now the Honourable Minister is standing up trying to say something else, there is no point of order that they should have been disallowed. No,
this should not be dragged into an argument.
I know. So, but he was allowed to raise a matter abusing the provision in the standing orders for point of order. He was permitted to abuse the point of order privilege. So that is why I am still on my feet explaining it.
Right. Thank you.
Otherwise, the country is misled by this kind of racist propaganda by this minister.
Thank you. Yes.
Please give me this time, because this is something to do with the sovereignty of the country. This is something to do with the territorial integrity of the country. He said, given just a very childish excuse. Wait. I am not finished. The mother can always respect the son. There is no problem. But a parliamentarian cannot go and then pay tribute to a LTT leader who is a notorious killer of the FGF. And he has the audacity to keep the FGF just outside the shed. Right, he's keeping the SGF outside the shed, and he has the audacity to go and commemorate. So how can he take oath? How can he take oath in the parliament? You must definitely. You can't compare JVP with LTT. LTT tried to divide the country. LTT tried to divide the country. You can't compare LTT.
Hardly any time for us to go in for a debate on a matter like this, please.
Yeah, you are a racist. Right, you talk about the TMD. You are talking about the sovereignty of the majority. There's nothing called sovereignty of the majority. There's sovereignty of the whole country.
Both have explained their position to the House. Let's stop from here. Right, thank you. Right, it's okay. ප්‍රධාන වැඩ කටයුතු විසර්ජන පනත් කෙටුම්පත 2021 කාරක සභාවස්ත. පළවැනි උපලේඛනය තරුණ හා ක්‍රීඩා ක්‍රීඩා අමාත්‍යාංශයේ ශීර්ෂාංක 194 219 327 ග්‍රාමීය හා පාසල් ක්‍රීඩා යටිතල පහසුකම් ප්‍රවර්ධන රාජ්‍ය අමාත්‍යාංශයේ ශීර්ෂාංක 402 ජල සම්පාදන අමාත්‍යාංශයේ ශීර්ෂාංක 166 ග්‍රාමීය හා ප්‍රාදේශීය පානීය ජල සම්පාදන ව්‍යාපෘති සංවර්ධන රාජ්‍ය අමාත්‍යාංශයේ ශීර්ෂාංක 433 සහ 332 විදුලි බල අමාත්‍යාංශයේ ශීර්ෂ අංක 119 සූර්ය බල සුළං හා ජල විදුලි ජනන ව්‍යාපෘති සංවර්ධන රාජ්‍ය අමාත්‍යාංශයේ ශීර්ෂ අංක 406 බල ශක්ති අමාත්‍යාංශයේ ශීර්ෂ අංක 115 සලකා බැලීම පූර්ව භාග 10 සිට 10:30 දක්වා අපර භාග 1 සිට 5 දක්වා
ඔනරබල් රවුෆ් හකීම් අපේ තරුණ කටයුතු ක්‍රීඩා ඇමැතිතුම අද එනවද
මම දන්න
කටයුතුවක් ක්‍රීඩා ඇමැතිතුමා සභාවේ නැහැ ඔබතුමාගේ දැන ගැනීමට
හරි
ඇමැතිතුරු එළිය
තවම අපිට දන්වලා නැහැ මොකද තවම අපිට දන්වලා නැහැ අසනීප වෙලා හිටියා මම දන්නේ නැහැ තවම අසනීප හොඳයිද
කියලා බිස්මිල්ලාහ් රහ්මාන් රහීම් ඔනරබල් ස්පීකර් I move that a sum of rupees 10 be cut from all the recurrent expenditure and capital expenditure in each program as per the tradition out of the heads of expenditure numbers 194, 219, 328, 402, 166, 433, 332, 119, 406, and 115 pertaining to the ministries and other departments and institutions coming under them debated today Saturday 28th under the committee stage of the appropriation bill 2021 Mr. Speaker I am privileged as a former minister in charge of water supply to begin to say a few words at this committee stage debate on the appropriation allocations and the future strategy of this government pertaining to the water sector. Now, there is a very ambitious program that has been outlined in the budget which talks about Water for All national plan. It is planned to invest, they say, 1 trillion, that is 1,000 billion, in 2021-2024 in 1,000 community water projects, 171 major projects aimed at enhancing the production capacity, new water supply schemes, and expedite the ongoing projects with the objective of ensuring access to drinking water to the entire population. It is also planned to enhance the local value of this project by engaging local engineers, contractors at national as well as rural level. Well and good. It is a very, very ambitious 1 trillion rupees within a period of 3 years to be spent on public utility such as purified water. Is a very welcome feature. And I must also thank the government for carrying on a program which I initiated in 2019 as Praja Jala Abhibani. The Honorable Sanat Nishant is now the state minister in charge of the new ministry which handles a very important element of the water sector in this country, that is of the community-based organizations. And I must say Honorable Dinesh Gunawardena was responsible when, during his time as a minister in charge, establishing a separate department for community water supply. But what in fact happened, I will come to Honorable Vasudeva Nanayakara and his ministry, which is the main ministry, but this particular sector received stepmotherly treatment throughout. Continuous, from the time it was established, they allocate about 200 million rupees each year. It is hardly enough to even maintain the staff. There were hardly any staff. But after I took over, we managed to recruit staff. We have expanded the department, and we also began to implement an island-wide program establishing new community-based organization-led development of the purified water, and we targeted 1,000 villages. But I think some of those projects have now come to a standstill, but I am sure the Honorable State Minister will continue to include them and then complete this program which was originally initiated. So it's a good thing for succeeding government to continue with the project that the earlier government started. Similarly, on the water sector, there is, I would like to initially, since 1 trillion is supposed to be allocated, the question as to how we are going to find the money for such a large investment is a serious question, because if it is going to come out of the consolidated fund, because originally, way back in 2014, it was the same regime that is in power now, which changed the government policy on capital investment to the sector by asking the National Water Supply and Drainage Board to bear the major portion of debt servicing responsibility. And there hardly any money was allocated from the consolidated fund. I would like to ask from the Honorable Minister whether this policy has now been reversed and the government is going to... Beg your pardon?
Can I ask that question?
Yes, please.
Yeah. We propose to have this money utilized, allocated to us fully, and also cut down a large amount of cost that we have been incurring through unsolicited proposals, which has been your way of doing it.
Yeah.
We are going to have entirely national contractors taking the contracts out and the designing to be done by the water board.
Right.
Also, there will be treasury guaranteed local funding from our local banks.
Wonderful. That is good. While saying that, I think that is in, if I am to understand the Honorable Minister's reply, I think this is what is said in the budget proposal, which is also a good thing, which talks about significant number of projects worth more than $6,000 million shows slow progress. The main deficiency is identified in monitoring of project planning, feasibility, implementation and deviation of the projects from national requirements, and frequent cost and time escalation resulting in low returns. As such, an increase in foreign loans as well as the increase in debt services could be observed. This is what the budget said. We have given priority to realign and or relocate these loan funds in line with the priorities identified in the Vistas of Prosperity and Splendor socio-economic development program. We acknowledge and appreciate the support of the donor agencies in this respect. We have given priority to prevention of COVID-19, supply of drinking water, rural road development, etc., etc. And then what is important is, accordingly, the Minister of Finance, the Prime Minister said, planned annual utilization of foreign loans as agreed with the World Bank, Asian Development Bank, and Japan International Cooperation Agency alone is approximately $4,400 million. And in addition, it is expected to obtain bilateral development loans of approximately $400 million. Now, a key aspect of the public investment financing strategy is the utilization of domestic funds as much as possible to support the implementation of the development of national infrastructure, providing access to the rural economy. So, if I am to understand this, the government intends to allocate from the consolidated fund such a large amount of almost 1 trillion within the next 3 years, which is, in my opinion, a very difficult target to reach if it is to be funded purely out of our revenue. Now today, now what we in the, I quote from Daily Mirror business page, Fitch downgrades Sri Lanka to CCC. What do you say? Say, cites challenging external debt repayment position over the medium term as a key reason. Believes official revenue projection of nominal revenue growth of 28% in 2021 is highly ambitious. That is why I said this is a very highly ambitious program.
ගරු කතානායකතුමා රාජ්‍ය අමාත්‍යවරයාට මම පුංචි පිළිතුරක් දෙන්න මම හිතන්නේ මේක ප්‍රධාන වශයෙන් ඔබ තමුන්නාන්සේලාගේ ආණ්ඩුව යටතේ පිටරටවල් වලින් ව්‍යාපෘති ගෙනල්ලා එක ව්‍යාපෘතියක් සඳහා එක පවුලකට ජලය ලබා දීම සඳහා රුපියල් ලක්ෂ 8 සිට 10 දක්වා වියදම් කරලා තිබුණා. ඒ නිසා අපි ප්‍රතිපත්තිමේ තීන්දුවක් අරන් තියෙනවා අපේ දේශීය ඉංජිනේරුවරුන්, දේශීය සමාගම්, දේශීය කොන්ත්‍රාත්කරුවෝ, දේශීය ණය අරගෙන මේ කරන ව්‍යාපෘතිය හරහා එක පවුලකට පානීය ජලය ලබා දීම සඳහා ඉතාමත්ම පුංචි මුදලකින් කරන්න පුළුවන්. අර වැය බර නාස්තිය නතර කරන එකෙන් තමයි මේ මේ ව්‍යාපෘතිය කරන්න බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන්නේ කවුරු හමුවත්.
Now, now Mr. Speaker, now they have they say that these are all projects that have been too costly, but these are all projects that have been examined by cabinet appointed negotiating committees at technical evaluation committees and have been evaluated and approved by cabinet. Be that as it may, let me also say this: there is an allegation that there is some, at least some acknowledgement that there had been work done during our period. Now there was, I am told, there was a program that was prepared to show that the entire period of the former regime, hardly any project was ever commenced. Now let me say this, in 2015, 34 billion was utilized, 2016, 65 billion, 2017, 82 billion, 2018, 109 billion. In total, 290 billion was invested in this sector, and that investment, and the details of which I would like for the need for to understand the cost involved and the lending agencies involved, all these details. I think it is, since these allegations are coming about, it is important for us to see that all those details are tabled as part of my speech. So I table here the progress of the ongoing water supply and sewerage project by province as one annexure, and also another further annexure which talks about the water supply and sewerage projects, which is also included here, which is on online, which I am sure will be considered, because these are all projects that have been evaluated over a period of time. Because to evaluate the project and to prepare the costing for the projects takes quite a long time. That also involves further examination of environmental impact and various other matters concerning the preparation of feasibility report for a project. Be that as it may, I must here refer to an important aspect of the another very valuable project which was implemented with the support of the World Bank. That was the Water Supply and Sanitation Improvement Project, which was a very salutary project which has come to an end by the end of this year. But I am told that the government has decided to discontinue this project. I would urge the Honorable Minister to convince the Treasury to to try and revive this project, and then to there's a phase two that has been planned.
Yes.
Honorable Chair, yes. We are not discontinuing it. We are renegotiating with the World Bank for the continuity of the WASIP program.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's what I'm. We are quite relieved, because why I'm saying this is that this project had identified districts which have the least coverage of pipe water supply in the country, that being Mullathivu Kilinochchi, Nooraliya, Badulla Monragala, Kayagol and Ratnapura district. Now the second phase, I am told, there has been a phase two that have been planned for Kurunagala, Putlam, Mana and Gol districts. Why I say this is important, because this project had identified, because since our water sector major projects is very, very costly, therefore they have identified medium and smaller projects, and they have developed modules and manuals to prepare new type of cost-effective treatment facilities, which has been implemented and have successfully been launched in several areas in the districts that I mentioned. Therefore, the coverage also is about almost 100,000 families, entire country in all these districts have got the benefit of this project. Not only that, through this project, it has been also helpful to empower the community water supply department to improve its facilities, because community water supply department with almost 6,000 odd CBOs all over the country suffered without substantial government capital input. I would urge the Honorable Minister to consider another suggestion that I would like to make. Through the World Bank or the ADB, through a multilateral agency, to try and persuade them to organize a refinance scheme through the central bank, utilizing a certain portion of the fund, to allow the CBOs who are running these community-assisted projects to have some capital towards expansion of their projects, and also to fund the infrastructure needs of pipe laying and various other requirements. Because these are CBOs are all suffering all over the country without substantial financial support. It is, since finance is costly, they are unable to even have access to finance. Therefore, it would be useful for a... Yes.
In order to formulate your positions more clearly,
yes.
I must say that the department now, Community Water Supply Department now finances all the CBOs which need finance in order to rehabilitate the former projects. And in the new projects, we provide 70%, as you know.
I understand that. Now, what I am saying is, the principle of CBO-led water projects is to allow them some autonomy, not to be nose-led by the department. Department is there just to supervise their work, not to take over the responsibility. They must take over the responsibility to manage and to expand. That is the purpose.
ගරු කතානායකතුමනි මේ 2014 වසරේදී ප්‍රජාජල දෙපාර්තමේන්තුව නිර්මාණය කෙරුවත් වසර එදා ඉඳලා මේ වෙනකන් පනතක් හදලා ප්‍රඥප්තියක් හදලා මේකේ නීතියක් හදලා තිබුණේ නැහැ. ඒක තමයි ප්‍රධානම ගැටලුව. මේ අපි ඉතාමත්ම කෙටි කාලයක් අස්සේ මේ පනත හදලා ඉවර කරන්න යනවා. ඒ නිසා ඒකේ යම්කිසි වගකීමක් ගරුවමතු අවතුවත් බාර ගන්න ඕන.
නෑ පනත හැදීම් පිළිබඳව අපි උත්සාහයක් දැරුවා. නමුත් විශාල ලෙස පලාස් සභාවලින් ඒකට විරෝධතාවයක් ආවා. මේක පළාත් සභා විෂයක් හැටියට මේ විෂය තියෙන බැවින් පළාත් සභාවවල අනුමැතියෙන් තොරව මේ මධ්‍යම ආණ්ඩුවට මේ දෙපාර්තමේන්තුව හරහා මේක නඩත්තු කිරීම පිළිබඳව
නීතිමය ගැටලුවක් තිබෙනවා. ඒක අපි මුලින්ම නිරාකරණය කරගත යුතුයි. ඉතින් ඒ පිළිබඳව අපි ඒ පනත ගැනකොට අපි සාකච්ඡා කරමු. ඒ එහාට මම මට කෙටි කාලයක් තියෙන බැවින් වැදගත් අපේ අපි මේ මෙවර බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන අමාත්‍යාංශයේ ආයෝජනවල විශේෂයෙන්ම අපි කලටුවාව ලබුගම අඹතලේ වැනි පානීය ජලයට විතරක් ආවේනික වූ ජලාශ 1950 ගණන්වල පටන් ගත්තට පසුව අපි පටන් ගත්ත නැති ක්‍රියාදාමයක් තිබෙනවා. එබැවින් දැන් යෝජනා කරලා තියෙන පරිදි මීට කලින් අපි මේ ගැන සූදානම් වෙලා මේට අවශ්‍ය සක්‍යතා වාර්තා හදලා මේවට ආයෝජනය කිරීමට අපි මුදල් සොයාගෙන හිටි අවස්ථාවේදී දැන් ඉතින් since the government proposes to utilize some of the multilateral agency funding, it would be
honorable member, now. your time is almost over.
Yes, I'm just finding out the VON Yati Mahana reservoirs, which are exclusively for water supply schemes, and also I would urge the honorable minister to consider Hedoya scheme, which will service both Mondragala Siembalandu area as well as the Potuvil area, which thank you very much. So those projects together with, and I would also urge Galaha Deltota project, which will utilize the Lul Kandura reservoir as a source, to be also implemented.
Right, thank you very much.